The title of today's message is Aim for Harmony or Don't Push Anyone Off the Bridge. We'll explain that in a little bit. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 13. And we're going to read that whole section of scripture through many different versions today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually not going to read that scripture, but we will be looking at sections of that scripture as we kind of go along through this message today. Does this sound all right? Does this sound too loud? Or does it sound a little too loud? Slower this a little bit. Thank you. We all know that sin can destroy a church. But there are other things that could destroy a church as well, and they're not sin. There'd be neither a command against these things in the scriptures. There wouldn't be a command to do them. There wouldn't be things that would be forbidden in the scripture about these things. But there are certain attitudes that we have that can cause hurt in our fellowship, in our fruitfulness, in our witness for Christ. And these things are matters of personal preference. That's what they are. They're just matters of personal preference. Maybe traditions, maybe different beliefs, different opinions that we have, and then we impose them on others, and we cause confusion, and we cause disharmony. And so in this section of Romans, all of chapter 14 and through chapter 15, verse 13, that's what Paul is talking about. Kind of a little difficult section of Scripture, not only maybe to understand certain things in that part of Scripture, but to do what Paul says here in the Scripture. Seems easy to do, but a little harder to implement. And Paul starts off in Romans chapter 14, verse 1. And I want to read that from the Message, because I like the way he says it. And here's what it says in Romans 14, 1. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with. That's pretty good. Except everyone. You know, everyone doesn't always agree with you, Christians. They have different opinions and stuff. But don't jump all over them because they have a difference of opinion. Instead, open your arms to them in fellowship. And then Paul gives a couple of for instances of what he's talking about. And they might be a little confusing at first, but we'll explain them, and then I think maybe you'll understand where Paul is coming from here. First, understand that Paul is writing to a church in Rome. And at first, because of the Roman government there, the believing Jews couldn't stay there. And so the church really started with Gentile believers, people who were living immoral lives, pagan lives. And their lives were transformed when they heard about Jesus and received Christ. And the church started with these Gentile believers. But then these Jewish believers started to come back and join the church as well. So now you have these two different groups in the church. You have these Jewish Christians who bring with them their traditions as Jews. And then you have these Gentile believers who have a past, pagan past, but have been wonderfully transformed by Christ. And as I said, the Jews have certain traditions, one of them perhaps being the way they would prepare food. The Gentiles had a whole different thing going on with food that we're going to look at as well, and that is food that was being sacrificed to idols, to gods. Now here's what's going on. The Greeks and the Romans, they believed and worshipped many gods, many different gods. They also believed in many evil spirits. They also believed, these pagan beliefs were, that these evil spirits would try to attach themselves to human beings through the food that the human beings ate. That if you ate certain meat, you could perhaps get these evil spirits. And so what they decided that they should do is that they should sacrifice this food, this meat, to their gods. Not only to win favor with those gods, but that by offering it to the gods, this contaminated meat would no longer be contaminated and people would not receive evil spirits. And they would take this meat and they would throw it on their fires, and whatever wasn't burnt up on the altar, they would use that for a meal for these pagan, wicked rituals and meetings that they would have. Excuse me. So they'd have these feasts with this meat that's been now made pure by offering it to their idols. And then if there was any other meat left over, they would sell it in markets. So this is what's going on. Now these people who were not Jews, Gentiles, pagan believers, who now are converted and become believers in Christ, they had a problem with going to these markets and buying this meat because they know it was offered to gods. And it reminded them of their wicked past, and so they didn't want to have anything to do with that, and so they wouldn't eat that meat. Some of them even became vegetarians because they wouldn't eat that meat. So that's what's going on with the Gentiles. On the other hand, the Jews, they don't have any problem with this meat sold in these markets. They know that there are no other gods, there's one God. So they don't believe in all these other gods and all these idols. They know that they're not real. And so it means nothing to them that this meat was offered to these gods because they don't believe in them. There's only one God. Furthermore, they didn't believe that evil spirits can contaminate meat. I think that Paul believed the same thing, that this shouldn't be a problem. He writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Because the same problem that they're having in the church in Rome, they were having that same problem in the church in Corinth. And Paul says, you know, there's only one God. It's not a problem to be eating this meat. But for some, it was a problem. And so this difference of opinion was causing problems within these two with these two different groups of believers, these Jews and these Gentiles. And sometimes they were jumping all over each other, as was written there in the first verse, because of these differences. Now there was a second, for instance, so that was one problem, okay? There was a second, for instance, that Paul gives, and it's in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, where it says that some think that one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. Now, the most obvious example of that is that these Jewish believers, holding on to their traditions, would say that the Sabbath is Saturday, and we need to worship on Saturday. And then you had the Gentiles who said, we can't believe how Jesus has changed our lives. Our sins have been forgiven because of the resurrection of Christ. We want to celebrate the resurrection, so we want to worship on Sunday because Jesus is risen on a Sunday. By the way, don't think that these things that I'm bringing up are not relevant today. There are still groups that believe that certain things shouldn't be eaten, or you shouldn't buy certain things in marketplaces because they've been offered to idols or those kinds of things. And there's still problems with this today. I remember being in a church a long time ago, and there was a person who started to come to that church, and he had some complaints. Actually, he complained about a lot of things in the church. But one of his complaints was, why do you worship on Sunday? He said, the Sabbath should be Saturday. And finally, I just said to him, you know what you need to do? You need to find a church that worships on Saturday, and you need to go there. It could be a lot happier, and so will I be. Another time, we announced that we're going to have an Ash Wednesday service. And I had someone come to me and say, I'm not coming to that. I said, what, why not? He said, well, that's a Catholic thing. I said, oh, okay. I said, I know what we'll do instead. Let's do this instead. Let's take 40 days to remember the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. That'd be great, right? Well, we'll remember the Lord for about 40 days. And let's kick off that 40 days with a special service. And we'll hold it on a Wednesday. They were fine with that. But these are the sort of things that cause debates among us and cause disagreements among us. And even worse, cause believers to judge other believers and to even condemn other believers. And these things should not be. But sadly, they still happen today. Some of you who have attended the Alpha course heard Nikki Gumbel tell this story. And I want to read it to you this morning. He says this, I heard about a man who was standing in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge. By the way, that's what they're supposed to be on the corner over there. I heard about a man who was standing in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge admiring the view. When another tourist walked up alongside him to do the same, I heard him say quietly as he looked out at this beautiful view, what an awesome God. And I turned to him and I said, oh, are you a Christian? And he said, I am a Christian. And I said, me too. And we shook hands. And I said to him, are you a liberal or a fundamental Christian? And he said, I'm a fundamental Christian. And I said, so am I. And we smiled and we nodded at each other. And I said, are you a covenant or a dispensational fundamental Christian? And he said, I am a dispensational fundamental Christian. And I said, so am I. And I slapped him on the back. I said, are you an early Acts, mid Acts, or late Acts dispensational fundamental Christian? He said, I am a mid Acts dispensational fundamental Christian. And I said, so am I. And we agreed to exchange Christmas cards that year and every year. I said, now, are you an Acts 9 or 13 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian? He said, I'm an Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. And we hugged right there on the bridge. I said, are you a pre-trib or post-trib Acts 9, mid-Acts, dispensational, fundamental Christian? He said, I'm a pre-trib, Acts 9, mid-Acts, dispensational, fundamental Christian. I said, so am I. And we decided to exchange our kids for the summer. I said, are you a 12-in or a 12-out, pre-trib, Acts 9, mid-Acts, dispensational, fundamental Christian? He said, I'm a 12-in, pre-trib, Acts 9, mid-Acts, dispensational, fundamental Christian. And I said, you heretic, and I pushed him off the bridge. And that is kind of what happens with Christians today, except for the pushing off the bridge part. I hope. We have our theology, and we make our theology the standard for all believers. We say, don't tell me God agrees with you. You know, we have different beliefs. And we don't fellowship with certain people, or we even condemn them for what they believe many times. We do that. For example, some believe in eternal security. Others believe in free will. There are Christians who are more liberal. And then there are some that are more conservative. There are some Christians that say only true Christians are Democrats. And others say, no, only Republicans could be Christians. Isn't your worst fear that we're going to get to heaven and find out that the Roman Catholics had it right all along? But we build our walls, you know. We have our forts. And we say, your fort has to look like my fort or you can't come in. or your fort has to look like my fort, or, you know, I'm not going to associate with you. You know what I say? I say that anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ is my brother and my sister. You know what I say? I say that if you haven't found anyone in this church that annoys you, you're just not involved enough in this church. Christians may agree that Scripture is truth. We just don't agree of how to apply the Scripture. And so we have different things. And this section of Scripture, listen, this section of Scripture is not about good Christians and bad Christians. It's about different Christians and how we should get along with each other. This section of Scripture is about building unity, aiming for harmony. It's about Christian freedom and also Christian responsibility, which we're going to show in a little bit. There is a quote, and it's been attributed to a lot of different people. I think John Wesley even is one of them. But I found this quote from Peter Myerlin. I think that's how you say his name. I should have said Myerlin. He says this: in things necessary, unity. Got that? In things necessary, unity. In things not necessary, liberty. And in all things, grace. There are certain things that all Christians believe. There are certain things we are all united in. All true, genuine Christians believe the same thing. Matter of fact, if you would take your songbook and turn to number 14, and just look at this as I'm going to read this to you. It's 14, and it's a reading of the Nicene Creed. Nicene Creed. Here's what it says. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one universal and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. This creed has been the faith of Christians around the world for over 1,600 years. In things that are essential, in the things that are necessary, let's have unity. There are certain things that we all can, all denominations, all Christians will agree with. And I think this creed is a good example of that. But there are other things that, you know, there's different beliefs. There are different denominations, and these different denominations have their own distinctive beliefs. When it comes to those things, let's practice the law of liberty. But always practice the law of love and of grace. I had my own business at one time. And some of my customers were from a local Pentecostal church. And they would come in, of course, and I would find myself with these Pentecostal believers that would come into my business, debating them, disagreeing with them, and ashamed to say, many times judging them. And I remember one particular day, one of these Pentecostal brothers coming into my shop, and I made a point, I consciously made a point not to even talk about anything with faith. I didn't want to get into anything with this brother. And as I remember it, that day was a very stressful day. You know, you're dealing with a lot of non-believing people, complaining customers, customers that are hard to please. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, please send a Christian in, someone that I can relate to. And I heard the Lord say, I sent you one this morning, and you ignored them. And after that, I always made it a point that whenever one of my Pentecostal brothers or sisters came in, we were going to share the Lord together. We were going to share what we had in common, and we were going to enjoy that time of fellowship that we had, the shortest period that we had to be together. There are Christians who don't believe as we do. There are Christians who don't worship as we do. There are Christians who have different opinions and different traditions, but they're sincere. And we don't need to change them. We don't need to argue with them. We just need to accept them as they are and enjoy our fellowship with them. Actually, there are three things we need to do. Number one, accept one another because God has accepted you in Christ. Accept one another because God has accepted you in Christ. Accept, not change, not judge, not argue, accept one another. They are believers in Christ. Followers of Jesus, brothers and sisters. Take a look at Romans chapter 14, verses 3 to 4. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. He's talking about that thing we talked about earlier, right? Some people saying they could eat certain meat from the market. Some people say they couldn't. Now, it's not just about meat, right? It's about all these other things that we have not have in common with some Christians. Those who feel free to do it should not look down on those who don't feel free to do those things. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do. For God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? They are responsible to the Lord. So let him judge whether they are right or wrong. And with the Lord's help, they will do what is right and will receive his approval. Who are you to condemn one of the Lord's servants? Don't condemn them because they think differently, because they believe differently. Instead, accept them. Well, how should we accept them? Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says this. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Why? So that God will be given glory. Accept others as God has forgiven, has accepted you. How has Christ accepted you? Did Christ say to you, first, get your theology. First, let me hear what you believe, and then we'll see if I could accept you. Did Christ say, oh, here's a bunch of rules, let's see if you could keep these rules, and then maybe I'll accept you? Did Christ say, well, what's your political party? Does Christ say, what are your eating habits like? He accepted us just as we are, and we need to do the same. Why? So that God will be given glory. So accept one another. That's the first thing. Second thing, do not judge one another because Christ is our judge. Don't you know that every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of God? Every one of us. Every one of us is going to give an account of our life. We're all forgiven. We all have salvation through faith in Christ and in faith in Christ alone. But you are still going to be judged by the things that you do, especially the way you treat other people, especially how you treat other Christians. Take a look at Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13. Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, written in Isaiah, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me or bend to me, and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other and decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Now we're getting into a whole other thing that we need to talk about. Causing other believers to stumble and fall. So here's the third thing that you need to know. We need to know that love is more important than personal freedom. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 14 to 23. Paul says, I know and I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus, that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. You got to love Paul, because you know what I love about Paul? Paul takes what Jesus taught and he explains it to us. And that's what Paul is doing here. Paul is saying, the Lord Jesus taught us. He said, Jesus said, can't you see that food that you put into your body does not defile you? Because it doesn't go into your heart. It goes into your stomach, and eventually it goes out to the sewer. That's what Jesus said. You can read it for yourself. It's in Mark chapter 7. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Well, the New Living Translation says it. But by saying that, Jesus was basically saying every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And Paul is repeating this and kind of explaining this. What did Jesus mean? Because these guys are fighting over this thing, and he's saying, even Jesus said food is not the issue here. Let me go on reading. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it's wrong. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? The Bible might not say something is wrong, but maybe God speaks to you personally about an issue, and he says, for you, this is wrong. So if you believe it's wrong for you. Okay? And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. So you get what Paul is saying here? And then let's not just think about food. Let's think about some other issues. That you don't think is wrong, then it's not wrong for you. But there's other people who do think it's wrong, and it's wrong for them. And Paul is saying, because you love your brother and sister, if you know that that thing is wrong for them, don't do it. Because you might cause them to go against their conscience. You might cause them to do something that they don't feel is right to do. You don't want to ruin another person's faith over your freedom. And so even though you think it's okay when you're with another believer, don't do it. That's what Paul says here. Let me go on and read. Don't let your eating, or whatever it is, ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. So what is the kingdom of God a matter of? The kingdom of God is a matter of living a life of goodness and of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church. That's a good goal right there, isn't it? Let's aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat or your opinions about political matters or your traditions or whatever that you have. Don't tear apart the work of God. Remember, all food is acceptable, but it's wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything that you believe is not right, you are sinning. I heard about a guy who was going to be given a brand new Ford Thunderbird. Where's my Thunderbird? Look at those babies. Weren't those cars beautiful? My goodness. But this guy was going to be given a brand new Ford Thunderbird. I don't know what year this was. I just picked out a couple of years that I like. But he refused it. And the reason why he refused it is because he knew that in certain Native American cultures, the Thunderbird was a legendary creature that was considered a supernatural bird of power and of strength. And so for that reason, this person said, I cannot accept this Thunderbird. You know what I would have said if I was there? I ain't got any problem with that legend. I'll take that Thunderbird. We have freedom in Christ. I'm free. I'm so free, I'll scare you. But while we are free, we have to be careful. There are things that I feel I could do that maybe others feel they can't do that same thing. They shouldn't condemn me because I do it, and I shouldn't condemn them because they don't do it. That's what Paul is teaching here. And that's the way that we need to be. Don't do anything that's going to make someone go against their conscience. I knew someone one time who said he could not watch television. That for him, watching television would be a sin. No. I don't necessarily believe that. And there's some who might agree with that, and there might be some who don't agree with that. The people who agree with that aren't wrong, and the people who don't agree with that aren't wrong. But when someone comes over to your house and you know they watch the TV is a problem for them, I'd shut off the TV. You know, simple as that. God works in everyone differently. We're all in different places in our spiritual journey and growth. And we have to follow the example of Christ, who laid down his rights for others. And that's what we need to do. We need to lay down our rights for others. Some think that the more they don't do brings them closer to God. That's wrong, but that's what they think. They have all these rules, but there's also motives. And only Jesus knows the motives of the heart. And it's easier for us to have rules than it is to lay down our life for another. But here's the rule. You ready for the rule? Love others as you love yourself. I want to bring that rule up a little bit. Love others as Christ has loved you. Give the Holy Spirit this work of maturity. Even if maturity in others doesn't look like maturity in you, it's God's word and it's the Holy Spirit that's going to change people, not you, not your rules, not your opinions. So we should live by our knowledge of Scripture rather than our love for traditions. And by the way, we all have traditions. Don't think, you know, I know of sometimes saying we don't have traditions is a tradition. We all have our traditions. We all have our different beliefs. You remember when Peter had that vision up on the roof? He had this vision. And it was a sheet that came down, had all kinds of animals in it. And here's what it is. It says in Acts chapter 10, let me read that, verses 14 and 15. Because the voice said to eat some of these animals. And he says, Peter says, "No, Lord, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again and said to him, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." And it was all in preparation for Peter to break another rule, which was entering the house of a Gentile, so that he could share the gospel and bring those people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a story, I heard a story about Chuck Smith. I probably have shared it before with you. One of the disadvantages you have of me being here for almost 30 years is that you probably heard some of my stories before. But this is Chuck Smith. He passed away recently, Chuck Smith. Anybody know who Chuck Smith is from Calvary Chapel? He started a church in Southern California back in the early 70s. And he built that church with hippies and surfers. And these young people would actually come to church barefoot. It's just what they were into. They'd come to church barefoot. Well, it so happens that the church had just put down a brand new carpet. And the leaders said to Chuck Smith, "We don't want these young people coming here. They're coming here barefoot with their dirty feet on our new carpet, and they're ruining our carpet." You know what those leaders were saying? Let them go to hell. Our carpet is more important. That's what they were saying. That's what they were saying. Now listen, these weren't bad people, these leaders. These were Christian men, women, or whatever. Had faith in Christ, probably in heaven today. But they were making their carpet more important than souls. By the way, you know what Chuck Smith said when they came to him and they said, "You can't allow these young people to come in here, they're ruining our carpet." Chuck Smith said, "Rip up the carpet." We must guard against thinking that we are superior Christians somehow because of what we believe. We all have our traditions. Be careful. I know this is hard. You know, the things that I'm talking about, we may agree with, but they're harder to do than you think. They're hard for us to do these things. Because we have come to believe what we believe. And we think that we're right. And it's hard for us to hear. Not only is it hard to hear other Christians, sometimes it's hard to hear the scriptures, because we even read the scriptures based upon what we already believe. And instead of really hearing the truth, we're just looking for scriptures that's going to confirm what I already believe. It's very hard, very difficult. You've got to be careful. But we make Jesus look bad because we think we're so spiritual. We become judgmental because of the traditions we grew up with or the things we've come to believe. We are so committed to how we do Christianity that others, you know, we don't love them sometimes. Again, not talking about bad people, just Christians who do life differently. Love them. Seek for harmony. Thank the Lord that we are part of a worldwide family that is international, intercultural, interracial, intergenerational, interdenominational, all genuine believers. May God help us love everyone in this big family of which He has made us a part. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let me just give you a few moments for some silent prayer, just you and God. And I would pray, Lord, show me. Show me where I need to change. Show me where I've been more judgmental than accepting. Show me where I haven't treated other believers right, or I've caused someone to stumble, or whatever it might be. Show me, Lord. And you just straighten that out with Him and ask for His strength to help you. I'll close in prayer in a moment. you would stand with me, I'll close our time together in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time together, Lord. It's always great to be with our brothers and sisters, to worship you together and to fellowship with one another, and to hear from you and to just enjoy your company and everyone else's company as well. And I just want to thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon each and everyone that is here, each family that is represented. I pray, Lord, that we would go out into this world this week, and Lord, we would be a witness for you, and that we would be fruitful for you, and we do most of it, Lord, just by loving others. And we want to thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives and speaking to us today. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week. And I will see you soon. I'm going to try to get to the back and greet you. Thank you.